Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes. The final NFL power rankings came in, and as thought this would be an interesting little thing to discuss, as you would expect, the power rankings were led by the team that won the Super Bowl.
Oh, we're going to do this.
I just thought it was interesting little thing that it worked out that the top two teams were the two teams in the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you expect it?
I watched the game. I don't need a power ranking to tell me who the top two teams were.
Although the Bengals did finish fifth.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're also Rams like everybody else.
That is also true.
You know how I feel about these. Who cares? It's just a guess. Does it make you feel good if your team's ahead of somebody else in the power rankings, or that the Browns are last?
They're not. That's what I was just going to say. There's the shocker in the whole thing. The Browns are not last. They're actually 30th.
Is Tennessee last?
Tennessee is last.
Well, they have the first overall pick in the draft. I hope so.
San Francisco is 31st.
It does. Oh, all right. I'm not going to belabor it.
That's fine.
I'm not going
to
belabor it.
That's all I wanted to say about it. I thought it was interesting that the 1 and 2 were the 1 and 2, and the last was not who I thought it would
be. Now, let's get into a serious subject that I think is very serious, and that is the Zika virus and what it means to the Olympics. Hope Solo said today, if it's not contained, she's not going. And I've got to wonder if she's the only one that feels that way.
I don't think so.
I think this is something that is, there are two things down there that are ultra serious. Number one is this, the Zika virus, which is transmitted by mosquitoes. And number two is the water situation there. And unfortunately, they're at a spot right now with the Olympic Games in Rio. I saw Michael Phelps on the golf coverage this weekend because he lives in Scottsdale now. And how excited he is to be going back to the Olympics. And, you know, they've got the trials, and NBC's going to do live coverage of the swimming trials when they finally come up. I'm not sure when that is. Is it May, June, something like that? And they're going to do live coverage of it. So naturally, that's why they wanted to have him on. But actually, Phelps did a pretty good job analyzing the golf tournament and the golf course, too. You can tell he could play. But it is, it's serious. And you're talking about, these are not indoor venues. You have a lot of outdoor venues. It's the Summer Olympics. What do you do? I mean, do you ultra spray the area to keep mosquitoes out? And what are the dangers of the spray?
See, one big problem.
There's so many things with this. They're just all wrong.
Well, the one big problem is their water issue alone actually makes the mosquito issue worse. Because of the stagnant water, the mosquitoes actually have a better breeding spot.
That's a very good point. Very good point. And I just don't. I find that she said this to now. Hope Solo's not going to be somebody that generates a lot of sympathy from people, but she's still a big name and somebody that she says something like this. You sit back and say, okay, that's interesting. That has some impact. Now, I think the swimming venues indoors, certain ones have been outdoors at times. I think, wasn't Athens was outdoors?
Athens was the last one, I think, that was outdoors.
Yeah, but I don't think this is outdoors.
Was Australia outdoors? Maybe Sydney was outdoors.
Yeah, but that wasn't the last one.
No, I was trying to think of other ones that were outdoors recently.
And but there's so many other things that you do that are outdoor events. Plus, you have to get there.
Listen, one of the big events that lasts a long time is sculling, because there's a lot of different versions of it. And canoeing and kayaking, those are the ones that I think I would be worried about the most. Think about this. You're in an area where the water isn't that great. Now you're in a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to be paddling and stirring everything up. Yeah, that has nightmare written all over it. This is one time that something negative about the Olympics that has come up that I absolutely agree with you on.
Well, Kenya has raised Zika fears over the Olympics. They're concerned about it. Hope Solo says she's considering skipping the Olympics because of it. This is a big problem. This is a big problem. The timing of it couldn't be any worse for them. They already have enough problems with the water situation there, and you make a great point about water and mosquitoes. And I think this is a huge issue, which is not just an Olympic issue, but obviously the Zika virus has a lot of people scared all over the place because of what's happening with it. And its potential harm to an unborn child. And again, I'm not one to say, hey, let's travel around the world with the Olympics. I'm like, look, stop fleecing people. Just build one and just go. Doesn't mean that wouldn't have problems either, but at least at that point you're maintaining it and you have some control over it instead of fleecing some country out of money to have them pay for it, and then suddenly you're in a spot where everybody's looking around saying, what are we doing here? And they've done that with this.
Now, there's more to the virus, too, than just, the effect to unborn children, unborn infants. But it actually creates fever, rash, joint pain, conjunctivitis. 1 in 5 right now, they're saying, that are infected show symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 people don't even know they're infected.
Oh, exactly. And this is a huge problem. And they're saying that the massive concerns. It's a growing health emergency internationally. And there are athletes and fans now from all over the world are saying, I'm not so sure. Including Brazil's athletes. Brazil's athletes are saying they're not comfortable. Now remember, even though they may be from Brazil, they're traveling all over the world right now trying to get ready. Right now, they have emphasized that no one is talking publicly about canceling or postponing the games. They say that has never been mentioned. They also feel it's impossible to do that, and right now they say there's no reason to do that. But it is a huge problem. It is not a small one. It's not, it's just a mosquito, it's no big deal, we're all good. No, that's not true. It is a major issue. And I don't think anybody there knows how to deal with it. Well, we'll take a break. During the break, Kevin will tell me the other 30 teams in the power poll, and I'll feign interest.
Oh, so it'd be like normal then.
Oh, yeah, really? Great. Right. They had playoffs. I know who won. Where were the Steelers on the power poll?
10th.
Wow. How many times have you heard this word on the show? Irrelevant. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget the groundhog. The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow on the lot.
So that can only mean one thing.
Another 4 weeks of easy dealing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Say easy. We mean easy. 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Serrano, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. SMC has snow busting 2016 Serranos and Sportages starting at $21,554, plus clearance pricing on all new Kias. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow. So there's four more weeks of huge savings at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Really great to be with everybody on this Wednesday. We started out by talking about the Zika virus and its potential effect on the Olympics. Hope Solo says, look, I'm going to consider not going. And something tells me she will not be the only athlete that, if it's not contained, that will look around and say, I don't think so. And here's one for you. How about Olympic golf? What do you think, Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy are going to go out and play a round of golf down there? No, I wouldn't. I look around and say, I'm not doing this. When's the PGA? And it's a big problem that they have to somehow get some control over and assurance that they have a handle and a control on. And that's a very tough issue because it's one that I don't think anybody associated with it expected. Cam Newton defended himself today. Said he's a sore loser. Okay, it's fine. All right, I can buy that. I'm okay with that. But the part I do not agree with is the part where he is discussing, not about walking out of the news conference, but about basically the business decision to not go after the football when it was on the ground. And that part, I can't buy. He likened it to throwing a late interception, and he said most quarterbacks don't go out there and make an effort to tackle somebody. He says, I didn't get the fumble. We can play tit for tat. I've seen numerous quarterbacks throw interceptions and the effort afterwards. They don't go. I don't dive on one fumble because of the way my leg was.
What's in the news?
I don't know. It could have been contorted in a certain way. So it is, no offense, but this is not a game in October. It was 16-10. Your team needed the ball back. So we didn't lose that game because of the fumble, I can tell you that. No, but it was still a one-score game when the fumble occurred. That one I completely disagree with him about. The press conference, I don't care. That's his business. He was extremely gracious to Peyton Manning on the field. Peyton Manning's the first one to say that. Fine, I understand that. You know, and respect that. The fumble play? No, I don't respect that. Okay, this is it. This is all you got. Okay, you work all year and your entire life to get to this game. Now, if they recover it, who says they still don't? You know, I mean, if they recover the ball, they still might lose the game. They weren't playing well enough to win, but I completely disagree with that. Yes, we've all seen quarterbacks give a half-hearted effort on an interception, not wanting to get hurt. I'll never forget the Mark Robinson interception in the 48-14 win when Penn State beat Pitt. I mean, Dan Marino's effort trying to tackle him on the 90-yard interception return, right, was minimal at best. Okay, because at that point they're getting crushed. I get it. He doesn't want to get hurt. I don't blame him. Yeah, you know, what's he going to do? We see it all the time, quarterbacks giving a half-hearted effort. But this is the Super Bowl. This is the kind of moment where, for example, when Jerome Bettis fumbles the football trying to put the game away and the Colts are going the other way, Ben Roethlisberger made the tackle at midfield. Then Mike Vanderjagt missed the field goal. But Roethlisberger threw his body in there and made sure he made the play and made the tackle because they were trying to win a playoff game, which they did. So that part I don't agree with him. This is not a game in October. If it were a game in October, I wouldn't say a word about it. Wouldn't say a word about it. It's a game in October. I got it. But not this time. He clearly backed away from it. His leg wasn't in danger of being contorted. There was nobody behind him. That one there, the fact that he even tried to defend it, sorry. Not buying on that one. How he acted after the game, press conference, that's his business. You're the face of the franchise. Franchise is going to have to talk to you about that. He was completely at complete class when it came time to talk to Peyton Manning on the field. Complete class. And I completely respect that. Manning's the first one to say that. But when it comes to the fumble play and his business decision to not go after it, well, no offense, but you made a bad business decision on that play. And even if he did recover it, who's to say Carolina would have won the game? But it was still a one-score game at the time. Well, we'll see if he learns from it. Offseason's coming up for the NFL. They need to do two things. They need to take the Deflategate thing and just get it off the plate. End it. Show some common sense. And number two, determine once and for all what's a catch. You have several months now to figure it out. Coming up, Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Former Nittany Lion Casey Bailey was traded today by the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Ottawa Senators. We'll talk with Pete about that and much more, dealing with all things NHL. Coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History, then Pete Jensen in a few moments. I'm really going to be interested in This Day in Sports History and about 2 weeks. Because Monday, February 29th, I'd like to know exactly what happened on February 29th in sports history.
The list is going to be a lot shorter than it normally would be.
Exactly. 1895 in Massachusetts, W.G. Morgan invented volleyball. And then hired Russ Rose. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Poor Russ. Russ.
Hey, poor Russ, what? He's won 7 national championships.
Yeah, but he's not that old. I mean, cut the poor guy a break.
Russ and I are the same age. Russ and I always talk to each other about coming up the same time together.
Oh, then maybe he is getting hired. He's older then.
Exactly. Exactly. Father Time and I have talked. Have you seen the latest commercial with Most Interesting Man in the World?
I don't think I have, no.
When the odds are 50-50 for him, it's actually 80-20. 1932, America entered the two-man bobsled competition at the Olympics for the first time and won the gold medal in Lake Placid. 1960, a verbal agreement was reached between representatives of the American and National Football Leagues. Both agreed not to tamper with player contracts. In 1993, 14 people were arrested when violence erupted at the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl victory parade. I hate when that happens. And Alex Rodriguez in 2009 admitted, yeah, I probably took banned substances from 2001 to 2003. The shock of it wore off after 30 seconds. Coming up on Thursday, Scott Radisic, a populist, the former HOK, the group that has been brought in to examine all of Penn State's facilities, including Beaver Stadium. Scott Radisic joins us on the show Thursday, and we will talk about the process they're going through right now, including Beaver Stadium. Summertime at some point will be about the time they'll make some announcements on the direction they want to go in with certain things. But we have a chance to get Scott on the show. He's one of the lead guys from Populous on this. If anybody has a passion for doing it right because of his roots, it would be him. Scott, of course, played on the 1982 National Championship team for Penn State. He was one of the top linebackers in the country and then enjoyed a long NFL career with the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. He's at least 10 years in the NFL. But I remember Scott was an engineering major, and he went 5 years to get his degree here. And it's paid off big for him. And they've done many, many projects. Some where they've gone from the ground up, and others, such as Kyle Field at Texas A&M, Populous did that, the renovation there. We'll talk about all of that on Thursday. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Today was the day where Casey Bailey, the former Nittany Lion, was involved in that 9-player trade between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. He's now a member of the Ottawa organization. Pete, what were your thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, I think it's key that the Maple Leafs were able to shed Dion Phaneuf's entire salary, and he's also a key contributor potentially for a team that needed a boost on the back end. They have Erik Karlsson, who, for anyone who doesn't know, has pretty much been the top point-producing defenseman in the NHL for quite some time, a number of years. He's actually second in the league in scoring right now, behind Patrick Kane, which is crazy considering he's a defenseman. But really behind him, he hasn't had much support at all. There's nobody on the blue line for Ottawa previously with more than 20 points. I believe Cody Ceci was their second leader on the blue line with 16 points. So Phaneuf is a guy already into the 20s, and he's 30 years old. His heyday is probably past, but he's still more than serviceable, and he gives Ottawa a nice 1-2 punch. And really, for Toronto, this is the start of what will probably be a huge garage sale leading up to the trade deadline, getting whatever they can and building that franchise from the ground up.
What kind of organization is Casey Bailey going to in Ottawa?
It's an interesting team. They have plenty of forwards that are explosive. They've kind of had a bunch of injuries this year across the lineup. Bobby Ryan, a lot of people know, has been one of the 10 or 15 most consistent point producers in the NHL this season. They also have guys like Mark Stone, who was in the running for Rookie of the Year last year. They have Kyle Turris, who has been banged up. So quite a few forwards that if Bailey cracks the NHL roster and maybe gets a flyer at, you know, in a top six role during some of these injury stints for certain players, he has a high ceiling. I mean, the back end has been the issue for Ottawa certainly this season. They were a team last year that made a remarkable run down the stretch to make the playoffs behind Andrew Hammond, who everyone remembers as the Hamburglar. But, of course, their goaltending has been shaky, to say the least, this season. And it's kind of – they're at a crossroads where they have the premier offensive defenseman in the NHL, but a lot of instability around him. We'll see what, you know, Dion Phaneuf can provide and if Casey Bailey can be, you know, integrated into the offensive mix for Ottawa. It'll be interesting to see.
All right. For most of the season, Sidney Crosby has had, for him, a rather pedestrian year. He's really kicked it into gear the last 20 games. Numbers-wise, when you look at his numbers, what are you seeing numerically from him?
Yeah, he has the most points in the NHL since December 15th. He's racking up 3-4-point games, and he's a guy that is all of a sudden now in the top 10 in league scoring and has his sights set. He's within 10 points of Jamie Benn and Erik Karlsson, who I mentioned earlier, for second in the league scoring race. And he's a guy that's now well over a point a game and could certainly finish the season with between 85 and 90 points, maybe even more if he keeps up at this rate. But yeah, Sidney Crosby right now is in one of those zones where he is clearly the best player in the NHL, and the Penguins need it because Evgeny Malkin's out. He's been out the past few games. He's out for the rest of the week. But for as long as they have Chris Letang and Sidney Crosby healthy, they're going to pounce on most teams they play, and he has just been on some kind of roll right now statistically. He's on one of those stretches where, especially in fantasy, a lot of people, fans, have been reaching out to me the past couple of months. Hey, why do you still have Sidney Crosby in your top 10, even though he's been, you know, he's outside the top 15, 20 in league scoring? This is why, because this is always the potential of Crosby, where he can just lift the pedestal up higher than any other player in the game.
The LA Kings lead the Pacific. No surprise there. The Chicago Blackhawks lead the Central. No surprise there. The Washington Capitals lead the Metropolitan. Great division, but really no surprise there. You could say if the Rangers, Penguins, or Washington led any one of them, but you know,
definitely,
it would make sense to have any one of them. It turns out it's Washington. They're having a great year. And then there are the Florida Panthers. The Penguins just played them. They're plus 29 in goal differential. Even though they've lost two in a row, what's made them a good team this year?
They have a combination of all three positions. They have one of the best young defensemen in the NHL, Aaron Ekblad. They have the oldest goalie in the NHL, who everyone knows, Roberto Luongo.
The old Canucks goalie. Yep.
Yeah, and he has just so much less pressure on him in Florida than he did in Vancouver, where it's so much bigger of a hockey market. And same goes for Jaromir Jagr, who everyone knows from Pittsburgh and from where he's bounced around over the years, and fourth leading scorer in NHL history. And the combination of that presence at each position to go along with a very young, skilled group of forwards has been the difference for Florida. And really in a very strange Atlantic division where no one has really, you know, the Habs were at top the NHL standings. Now they've been in complete free fall. Detroit Red Wings have gotten very inconsistent scoring. Boston Bruins have tailed off a little bit. They've struggled at home. So, hey, the Florida Panthers, a team that has been a punchline for years. This is a team that is a very serious contender and a very well-rounded team that could do damage in, again, a wide-open Eastern Conference. We've seen it the past 2 years with the Rangers making the Cup Final and last year the Tampa Bay Lightning. So would it shock me if the Panthers made the Cup Final? A little bit, but not really considering how well-rounded they are.
And by the way, to their credit down there, down in Broward County, they're now playing to 87% of capacity down there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, they've had some good crowds lately.
Yeah, they have.
Really,
I mean,
they're really nice.
Yeah, they're averaging like 14-8 a game now. Oh, is that awesome, incredible? But, you know, it's good for them. I mean, that's great. Oh, by the way, last is 61.9% of capacity, where if they'd stayed in Hartford, they'd be playing to 98% capacity of the Carolina Hurricanes. That's just my shot at Carmanos. All right. Look, I'm sorry. The whale will never die. All right. Fantasy sleepers. Give me a couple good fantasy sleepers over the next couple of weeks that people might be able to score with.
I mean, one guy that his fantasy ownership is just incredibly low considering the line he's playing with and his point production over the past 3-4 weeks is Andrei Burakovsky from the Washington Capitals. And earlier in the year, we saw Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's in the top 10 in league scoring. He was first with Ovechkin when Backstrom was out, and then he was on the second line excelling with Justin Williams, and a lot of their secondary points were going through those two, and they were playing with Marcus Johansson. Now they're playing, instead of Johansson, they're playing Burakovsky on that second line. And the point production has kind of shifted from Kuznetsov and Williams to Kuznetsov and Burakovsky. And he's a guy that's only about 15% owned in Yahoo leagues, and he should be owned in much greater than that. I think another guy that needs to be highlighted based on what he's done over his past 10 games is JT Miller. He scored again the other night for the Rangers, and that's a top six situation where a lot of guys have failed to answer the call. I mean, whether you're talking about Chris Kreider, Kevin Hayes, who's played mostly on the third line but has yet to emerge into the top six role many people anticipated from him based on his big year last year. And then also Rick Nash has been injured for a couple games now. So they need someone to carry the torch, and JT Miller has been a guy that has, hit the ground running with the opportunity at hand. So those are two guys in the East that I think are major fantasy drivers in terms of production that have a very low ownership right now.
And Pete, finally, what about the Flyers? A lot of people still follow them around here, so give us an idea of where they are right now.
Yeah, they just they have to avoid the losing streaks. I mean, they've had their nice stretches. They played well again the other day against the Rangers, played well against the Capitals, but dropped both games. And when you're not picking up at least, like, one thing the Devils have done, even though I think the Flyers are on par with the Devils talent-wise, or maybe even a little superior offensively, the Devils are just grinding out points right now, even the loser points in overtimes and shootouts. And that has enabled them to stay with the Penguins, stay with the Islanders, and stay with the Red Wings. And they have avoided 2 or 3 game losing streaks, something that the Flyers have been unable to do. Where, you know, they've followed up a string of 2 wins with 3 losses, or in this case, a string of a couple of wins with 2 straight losses. So they have a key homestand coming up where they play Buffalo, the Rangers again, and Anaheim starting tonight. I would say they got to win those 3 games if they want to get back into this thing.
Pete, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Steve. Always a good time talking hockey with you. Looking forward to doing it again soon.
Absolutely. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. We'll come back. Michigan going to take 1 week down in Florida at IMG Academy. The SEC is objected. We'll tell you about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget the groundhog.
The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow on the lot.
So that can only mean one thing.
Another 4 weeks of easy dealing at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Where we
say easy, we mean easy. 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Serrano, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. SMC has snow-busting 2016 Serranos and Sportages starting at $21,554, plus clearance pricing on all new Kias. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow. So there's four more weeks of huge savings at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Great to have you with us. Spring practice is coming up next month. I think Penn State begins, I want to say, right around the 18th, 19th of March. And, of course, the Blue-White game is April 16th at 2 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, along with GoPSUSports.com. And the game is not going to be televised live. It doesn't mean it won't be tape delayed, but it's not going to be televised live. And Penn State will have all of its spring practices here. That is not the case, as we know, with Michigan. They're going to have four of their spring practices at IMG Academy in Bradenton. And the SEC is furious about this. They've asked the NCAA to prohibit any college team from holding spring practice during spring break. Now, think of this. Michigan is not only taking the entire team down to Florida. That means they had to fly them, house them, feed them, all while they're down there for four practices in a seven-day span. They'll still have 11 other practices, including the maize and blue game or whatever they call it. So they'll have 10 other practices and then, of course, their scrimmage. I didn't like this from the outset, and it's not because it's Michigan. It has nothing to do with Harbaugh and Michigan. I could care less about that. We're getting too far away now. We're starting to get too far away with what we're doing in college sports. Spring break is spring practice is spring practice. It's practice. It's practice. You don't travel and fly a team to practice. Yeah, you practice on campus. You have an indoor facility. Practice. That's the part that bothers me. The part that bothers me is, why are you doing this? Now, obviously, they're doing it, you know, there's recruiting in mind and so forth. Yeah, I got all that. I mean, I understand all that, but this is spring practice. It's not training camp, anything like that. It is spring practice. This is taking it to the extreme. You're going to fly an entire team and managers and whomever to a location to spend 7 days and four practices in Florida? What? Really? This is getting too, starting to stray too far away from what makes sports sports. This is not a professional team. It's not a pro team. I remember they loosened up the rule a little bit, and when Michigan State played, I want to see, was it Michigan State played their semifinal game against Alabama in the Cotton Bowl? Does that sound right? And, or whatever it was, Tom Izzo took the basketball team down there. And they were allowed to, under this loosening of the rule. And I am not for foreign tours to Europe, Australia, Canada, wherever, for basketball teams. I never have been. I've always felt like it was just wasting money. And Penn State's done it. Penn State went to Europe 2 years ago. Penn State went to Canada before that. But I've never been for foreign tours of basketball teams, and I don't agree with this. I don't understand what direction we're going with this. You want to make it semi-professional and just label it semi-professional and I'll accept it. But don't tell me this is the amateur model where we take the entire team to Bradenton, Florida for spring break and four practices where you can practice on campus.